You're listening to the Nightlife Podcast with Sarah McDonald.
Good news.
We like to have some good news on a Sunday night before you go to sleep and wake up on a Monday morning. And John D from Do Something does that for us. Hello, John.
Good evening, Sarah.
Now, last week we were chatting to you. You had terrible bushfires where you are. You're in the Blue Mountains in New South Wales. Now, there's been a lot of worry about the ancient Wallumbai pines that are in the Blue Mountains and whether they're being affected by the fires. But you've got some good news around that.
Yeah, definitely good news. You know, the Wallumbai pines are often referred to as living fossils or dinosaur trees because evidence of their existence dates back over 100 million years. And they were, you know, basically thought extinct until they were discovered back in 1994 by a park ranger. Only 90 of these trees remain. And the good news is the original wild specimens of these Wallumbai pines are safe. The National Parks Wildlife Service said they've got measures in place to protect the Wallumbai pines from fire and that they're definitely okay. And I've been asked that question by so many people this week who heard us talking about the fires up here last week. And the good news is they're definitely okay.
Right. And you've been involved in planting some backup Wallumbai pines, so they're not just in the one spot now.
Yeah. So, gosh, back in 2007, 2008, I got together with the Australia Walkabout Wildlife Park in Calga, which is about 60 kilometres north of Sydney. And we put in place, you know, a backup reserve of Wallumbais. We planted over 95 of them. And so from that point of view, the idea was to protect them. What's interesting this week, of course, is that the Australia Wildlife Walkabout Wildlife Park is actually under threat itself and has had to evacuate all its animals. So that's very, very worrying.
All right. Well, they've got them all out. That's good because the animal stories from the fires are pretty bad, aren't they?
The good news there is Tassin Barnard, who owns the park, put out a call on Facebook and said we've got hundreds of kangaroos, emus, koalas, wombats and dingoes that they have at the sanctuary, and the public reaction was absolutely amazing. They had helicopters donated, they had horse floats donated, and they managed to evacuate more than 300 animals that were under threat from the fires that were encroaching on the park. The park has not been overrun by fire yet, but the good news is that the animals are safe, and there's a GoFundMe page that's been set up to support the park because obviously scariest part for the park right now is it's closed, so there's no income to pay the staff, no feed for the animals. And so far, the public has given $36,000, which is great.
Brilliant. All right. Now, it's Christmas time and we like to give to others. And you've found some great examples where we can do that even more easily at the moment.
Yeah, there's some really interesting ideas coming about. I've noticed a few different big companies that I'm talking to about the RE100 Renewable Energy Initiative. And I've gone into a few different reception areas in Sydney and seen that you've got these nice big signs and they've got this little credit card reader. They tell you what they're raising money for and you can literally tap it and immediately you give $10 to that charity. And so many people visiting in the reception area were just tapping it and giving $10 for people in need. The other interesting thing that's taking off in America now is vending machines with a difference, and they're called giving machines. And so, you know, when you swipe your credit card at this vending machine, you don't get a choice of chocolates, you know, bars of chocolate or bags of chips. You basically get these little packs that tell you what you're donating. So you can buy a football for a local child whose family is doing it tough, or you can buy a sheep for a family in a third world country, a polio vaccine, a pair of shoes, 100 meals for your local food bank, you know, goats, pigs, everything. And these things are really amazing. And so people have really taken to using these in the cities where they've put them. And I think it's a great idea to maybe get that happening here in Australia next year.
Okay, great. All right. Now, briefly, there's been some research about a big drop in the cost of batteries for electric cars and homes. And batteries are important for storing renewable power.
Look, absolutely. What's interesting here is the battery prices back in 2010 were about $1,100 per kilowatt hour. They've fallen 87% in real terms to about $156 per kilowatt hour in 2019. Now, this is research from Bloomberg New Energy Finance, and they reckon by 2023, the average prices will be closer to 100 kilowatts per hour. But what's interesting here is that by 2024, They think prices will fall below $100 a kilowatt hour. And that's important because that's the price point where electric vehicles will reach price parity with the traditional petrol cars. And not only will they be cheaper then, but they'll be dramatically cheaper to maintain and repair as well.
So when's that? In a year or two, they'll be the same or cheaper?
Well, look, already right now, if you look at the whole of life cost of electric vehicles, there's actually research showing now that over the whole of their life, they're actually already cheaper than petrol. But it's that upfront cost that is really critical. So once we get the parity to that just a few years away, then you save a lot of money because it's dramatically cheaper to repair and maintain and run electric vehicles compared to petrol vehicles. So that's we're very close to it now.
Now, I said to my husband, what do you want for Christmas? He said, an electric bike. And I said, I was thinking something much smaller and cheaper than that. But there's a big trial happening in New York with electric cargo bikes. What are they?
Yeah, so electric cargo bikes are interesting. They're very powerful electric bikes that you can use like a normal bike, but they've got a really powerful electric motor. And they basically drag a really big metal container that all has all the packages in. Now, if you think about New York, where they're doing this, there's been a real explosion of package delivery, not just in New York, but in Australia and everywhere else. Now, in New York, of course, it's got a huge number of delivery trucks. The problem is all the streets in New York were originally designed for horse-drawn carriages, and so these big delivery vans are blocking the road. So what they're trying to do is increase the number of these electric delivery cargo bikes where they can take quite a lot of packages, and of course it doesn't block the roads, you don't have any pollution from them. And so they're trialing 100 of them with companies like Amazon and UPS and DHL, and hopefully if that works they'll roll it out not just further in New York, but other cities will roll it out as well.
Excellent. All right, and we've got time for a couple more quick ones in terms of good news, and people have been thinking about climate change. There's a big drop in coal use in Europe. What's driving that?
Well, basically, it's the coal is basically being phased out in Europe. If you look at places like the UK and other countries, they're actually committed to getting rid of it. And so just in the first half of 2019, the European Union has seen really what's quite an unprecedented 19% year-on-year decline in coal-fired power generation. You know, if you look at Germany, it was 22%. It was actually up to 79% in Ireland. And coal is really going down now. It represents less than 2% of the electricity mix in Ireland, France and the UK, and only 6% in Spain and Italy. So, and they think actually towards the latter half of 2019, it will actually go down by a 23%. So a really big drop.
Right. And Bill Gates is backing an invention that could mean that industry could use solar power to make things like cement. We were talking about cement and the future of cement last week on the show and making it out of using old slag so it wouldn't need this enormous amount of carbon emissions to heat it up when you actually go about making it. But this would use solar power to make cement and steel.
Yeah, so basically the problem with traditional solar is it doesn't generate enough heat. You know, your traditional solar concentrated panels where you have mirrors that reflect the sun's heat onto a solar tower only generates temperatures up to 565 degrees. But this new company called Heliogen has found a new way of doing this. It uses artificial intelligence and a new way of using the mirrors to reflect sunlight onto a tower, and they're getting temperatures greater than 1,000 degrees centigrade. The good news there is you can use that for, you know, the production of cement, steel and petrochemicals, which traditionally have used fossil fuels. So this is a really big game changer, and if they can roll this out commercially at the right price, you know, you're going to see the end of the use of fossil fuels within those big energy-using industries.
We chatted to someone last night who was going around the world on a hydrogen and solar boat, John. It was amazing. They're coming to Australia in 2021.
Look, there's so much positive change right now. We can be quite excited about the future, I think.
All right. Well, thanks for the good news, John, and for this year.
Thanks, Sarah.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.